We continue our scripture reading in the book of Hebrews. We come now to chapter 8. You will find this on page number 1280 using your pew Bibles. Hebrews chapter 8, verses 1 to 13. Now, here is a chapter where the writer of Hebrews repeats the great promise of a new covenant given in Jeremiah 31 to the weeping prophet. There Jeremiah was, looking at the burning Jerusalem, the people of the old covenant are being led off into chains. What happened? Well, the answer is the problem is not God's covenant. It was their sin. And yet the old covenant was designed as an outward manifestation of the law. It was the law written on tablets of stone, and they weren't able to keep it. That was the problem. But the new covenant is manifestly better. And he makes the argument at the beginning that Jesus has a better priesthood. It's a heavenly one, not the earthly one. But with it are better promises, a better covenant. And Christians should understand that, I would put it this way, the structure of our salvation as set forward in the New Testament, New Covenant promise. The aim is found in verse 10 and verse 11. I will be their God, and they will be my people. That was the aim of the old covenant. It was not fulfilled because of sin. But that's what God wants from you is you. What God gives you is himself and all that is in him. But how is he going to do that? In two main ways. They correspond to justification and sanctification. I will have mercy towards their iniquity. I will remember their sins no more. And so God has dealt definitively with the offense and the condemnation of our sin, the barrier of our sin. He did it through the blood of his own son. What a wonderful statement. I will remember your sins no more. How many of our relationships are soured by that past event that keeps being brought up? Well, how many does God have towards us? He has forgotten them. In the Lord Jesus Christ. They are covered over. Isaiah says, I have put your sins behind my back. And God is not able to forget, of course, but he has definitively addressed them. They are no longer before him. They are no longer before us. How wonderful it is. And then there's sanctification. I will put my law into their minds and I will write it on their hearts. It's one of the reasons we come here to church. The first reason is to worship him. But God, the way that God works in us, he changes us by putting his truth in our minds. And then through our minds, he writes it on our hearts. He gives us convictions. He begins to change who we are. And the result is a love union with God. And this one will not fail. Why would we go back to the old one? The writer of Hebrews says, well, let us understand this is the calling of our lives, that we really would be his people, that we would embrace not only the fact, but the joy and the peace of sin forgiven, and then that we would have his ways written into our lives. Well, with these things said, let's give ear to the reading of God's holy, inerrant, and life-giving word, beginning at verse 1 of Hebrews 8. Now, the point in what we are saying is this. We have such a high priest, one who is seated at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in heaven, a minister in the holy places, in the true tent that the Lord set up, not man. For every high priest is appointed to offer gifts and sacrifices. Thus it is necessary for this priest also to have something to offer. Now, if he were on earth, he would not be a priest at all, since there are priests who offer gifts according to the law. They serve a copy and shadow of the heavenly things. For when Moses was about to erect the tent, he was instructed by God, saying, "See that you make everything according to the pattern that was shown you on the mountain." But as it is, Christ has obtained a ministry that is as much more excellent than the old, as the covenant he mediates is better, since it is enacted on better promises. For if the first covenant had been faultless, there would have been no occasion to look for a second. For he finds fault with them when he says, "Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will establish a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not like the covenant that I made with their fathers on the day when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, for they did not continue in my covenant. And so I showed no concern for them, declares the Lord. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my laws into their minds and write them on their hearts. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And they shall not teach each one his neighbor and each one his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest. For I will be merciful towards their iniquities, and I will remember their sins no more. In speaking of a new covenant, he makes the first one obsolete. And what is becoming obsolete and growing old is ready to vanish away. The grass withers, the flowers fall, and the word of our God abides forever. Amen.